of Christmas Day.
Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King.
Now Joseph and his wife Mary came to Bethlehem that night. They found no place to bear her child. Not a single room was inside.
Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king born today, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Trumpets sound and angels sing, listen to what they say, that man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
By and by they found a little nook in a stable all forlorn.
And in a manger cold and dark, Mary's little boy child was born. Oh,
Jesus, Jesus,
well,
oh, what a wonderful,
wonderful child.
Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. Oh, new life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King.
We'll sing it with us. It was
Jesus.
Yes,
Jesus.
Oh,
what a wonderful child.
What a wonderful child.
Jesus.
Oh, my
Jesus. Slowly, meek and mild. New hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King.
Might as well stand and sing it with us more time. Come on.
Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child.
What a wonderful child.
Jesus,
oh,
Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory.
Sing it again.
He's Jesus, Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful child.
What a wonderful child.
Jesus,
oh,
Jesus. So lowly, meek and mild.
Well,
new life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King.
Sing glory.
Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King.
Glory to the newborn King.
Hallelujah! 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 Come on, give the Lord Jesus a praise in the house. Hallelujah.
What's your name?
Won't you lift those hands and praise him for a moment? Wave them to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to the newborn King. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to the one who's coming back for us again on clouds of glory. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2, if you will. Just remain standing. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse number 10. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that song gets me excited. Hallelujah. Gets me excited. Amen. Glory to the newborn King. Hallelujah. I get a little pep in your step, won't it? Kind of get you got to move with that song. My goodness. I mean, even if it's just a little bit, you got to move with it. My goodness. Amen. Glory to the newborn King. It's something to get excited about. This is what Christmas is all about. It's about Jesus. Come on, put your hands one more time together and give God praise in the house. Lift up your voice and praise Him. Glory to the newborn King. Hallelujah. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Would you stretch your hand toward me and pray with me today? Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises, your promise fulfilled. Not only did you send your promise, not only did you make a promise, but you brought your promise in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who put on flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. We give you praise for the incarnation of Christ today and the promise that's fulfilled in our lives today. Father, we're just asking that you breathe upon this congregation, breathe upon the remainder of this service. May your spirit have liberty and freedom. May you do as you desire in this place today. And we just thank you for your goodness and grace and mercy in our lives and the presence of God that's in this house. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for your prayers today. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about the promise fulfilled. The promise fulfilled. Sarah was 4 years old, and she had a perfect Christmas. She got all the presents she wanted. Her cousins were with her on that day to enjoy the holidays. She had eaten her favorite food all day long, and when it was nighttime, her mother was tucking her in, and she looked up at her and smiled, and she said, "Mom, I sure hope Mary and Joseph have another baby next year." How many of you know that they did have more children later on, but there's never been a child like this child, the one that was breathed by the Holy Spirit into Mary's womb. Glory to God. Aren't you thankful today for the virgin birth? I believe in the virgin birth. If you can't believe in the virgin birth, then you can't believe in anything else, because Jesus Christ, hallelujah, Jesus Christ was born into her by the Holy Spirit, conceived by the Holy Ghost inside of her womb. Although you would never know from the culture we live in today that Jesus is the star of Christmas. Jesus is still the reason for the season. And we should celebrate Jesus as the star, not just this time of year, but we should celebrate Him as the star each and every day of our lives. He's the whole reason that we're alive. He's the reason that we live and move and have our being. He's the reason that you can even get out of the bed in the morning. It's because of Jesus Christ. And I'm just here to remind you this day, we've got to set aside all the commercialism and all the headaches sometimes that this time of year brings. And we've got to get into the presence of God. And we've got to remember that it's all about Jesus Christ. We've got to get into His presence and put Him first in our lives, because He's still the reason for the season. According to a national religious broadcaster's analysis of over 48,000 hours of programming during the month of December, several years ago, 90% of Christian programming did not have any spiritual theme whatsoever. 7% had a religious or spiritual theme, but never referred to Jesus. What a surprise. And Jesus was the focus of only 3% of Christian programming. The reason this is so amazing, because Christmas is all about the promise being fulfilled. We discover that all the way back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and fell into sin, that fellowship was replaced by fear. Sin became the human race's biggest problem, and a Savior became the human race's only solution. It's all about Jesus. We have a horrible sin problem, and Jesus is the only solution for it. How many of you know that our world is in a desperate situation right now? It's in an upheaval. There's chaos everywhere. There's crime everywhere. There's heartache everywhere. There is disunity everywhere. People want to assassinate. I mean, I just feel this in my spirit. People want to assassinate our president. I really believe that. Whether you agree with him or not, how many of you know that we're called as Christians to uplift him and pray for him? Pray for all of those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We need to be seeking the face of God like we've never sought him before. It's time for the church to stand up and be the church. For the sin problem, God made a promise that he would send a Savior. From the time he made that promise, the number one item on his to-do list, his number one agenda was to keep that promise. And Paul spoke of that promise in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, when he said, "And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those who were redeem us. "And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem, that he might receive the adoption as sons." How many of you are glad to be sons and daughters of God in this house today? At the very first Christmas, God gave the greatest gift ever. And when you open his gift and receive his gift, there are eternal benefits you enjoy. But isn't that the key today? You have to open up your heart. And you have to receive. John chapter 1 says it like this. "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. There were many then that rejected Jesus, and there are still many today that are rejecting Jesus." There are many sitting on church pews every single week that are rejecting Jesus. But what an awesome privilege it is to know. Listen, it is an awesome privilege to know that you need him. Because that's where it all starts. And unless you know that you need him, and unless you know that you're a sinner, unless you know that you need to repent, you know that you need to be in his presence, you know that you need the gift of eternal life, you can't be saved. That's where it all starts, when the Spirit of God begins to knock on the door of our hearts and we recognize, yes, I do need a Savior. Yes, I do need a change. Yes, I do need eternal life. That's where it starts, recognizing there is a problem and he's the only one that can fix this thing. He's the only one that can change my heart and turn things around in my life. Because the Bible says in John 1 and 12, "But as many as received him," everybody say received him, "but as many as received him, to them he gave the right," or the power, "to become sons of God." What a tragedy it would be to go through the Christmas season without receiving Christ. I'm not just talking about for the first time. I'm talking about just receiving him in a fresh way into your life, a fresh way into your heart. To be renewed in his holy presence, his power in your life. Let's dig a little deeper on what it means to receive or accept this wonderful gift. First of all, we must accept God's promise of satisfaction. God has promised that he alone is the one that can satisfy us. I promise you the gifts that you receive, and I hope you receive all kinds of gifts this Christmas. But I'm going to tell you here, I'm going to tell you right now, that any gift that you receive, it cannot compare to the gift of Jesus Christ in your life. It can't compare. Hallelujah. It cannot compare to the peace that you have in your heart. It can't compare to the presence of God in your life when you sense His presence. There is no gift, there is no earthly gift that can compare to this heavenly gift of Jesus Christ in your heart, and the peace of knowing that when you lay your head down at night, everything's all right between you and your Father, and that you're ready to meet Him if the trumpet were to sound that night or that moment. I'm telling you, we must be ready to meet Him. Hallelujah. You can't read the Christmas story without bumping into angels everywhere. It was an angel that told Joseph that Mary would be with child by the Holy Spirit. It was an angel that told Mary that she would become the mother of the Son of God. Now an angel is speaking to some shepherds out in the field and begins by saying this, "Do not be afraid." I appreciate that, because if I was out there and all of a sudden some angel showed up, I would probably want that kind of assurance too. Do not be afraid, right? Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. Contrary to what a lot of people think about God, God is not primarily in the bad news business. How many of you know you got to be careful what you turn on the TV these days, because it's just bad news, constant bad news, constant bad news. I believe we ought to be abreast of what's going on, but I don't believe we should constantly take in bad news. Amen, somebody? I don't believe we should constantly take in negativity. We don't need to put our head in the sand. No, we need to know what's going on, but at the same time, we don't need to constantly take it in, because listen, Jesus has come primarily to bring us good news. God is primarily in the good news business. The reason why God sent Jesus to this planet was to bring joy and not judgment. Do you know where joy comes from? It comes from being content. It comes from being satisfied. It comes from the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And the reason why there's such little joy in so many lives today and in our culture today is because we're living in a very dissatisfied society. Nothing satisfies. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Hallelujah. Godliness with contentment is great gain. No wonder Jesus said in Luke 12 and 15, He said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." You know what covetousness is, right? He's got that and she's got that, so I've got to have that too. How many know you don't have to have everything everybody else has got to be happy and to be content? Beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. What Jesus is trying to say is the abundance of your life actually consists in the abundance of the presence of God. It actually exists in the abundance of the Word of God and the peace of God and the serenity and the peace and the joy that He brings. That's where the abundance of life is found. Hallelujah. That's where it's found. 1 Timothy 6 and 6 says this, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world." Listen, this is not the kind of message that you hear all the time, so you know how me, I'm just going to give it to you. "We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we're going to take nothing out." Anybody ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse? I sure haven't. Right? Godliness with contentment is great gain. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He didn't say God pierced themselves through. He said they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I'm telling you this morning, church, nothing except a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ will bring true and total satisfaction in your life. Nothing can give that to you except Christ. Psalm 23 says it this way, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And another version says it like this: the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. Do you have everything you have need of this morning? There's probably some things that you want in your life. But I'm here to tell you, because of Christ, because of Jesus Christ, we have everything that we have need of. He supplies all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody help me praise Him today. Hallelujah. We must accept the promise of His satisfaction. Number two, we need to accept God's provision of salvation. His provision of salvation. Notice in verse number 11, "For today in the city of David there is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." I don't know about you, but I can't think of any better good news than that. Hallelujah. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. A Savior is just what the doctor ordered. Someone put it this way: if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. And we've got a lot of entertainers today. We've got a lot of entertainers in the church. As a matter of fact, you haven't had church unless you've had all of the sounds and the lights and the show and all of that kind of stuff. You haven't had church unless you've had that. But I'm here to tell you today, you can still have church by getting down on your knees and praying and seeking the face of God until the Holy Spirit comes down in your midst. And you don't have to have all of that, all of the shiny stuff and all of the limelight stuff to have church. Somebody help me praise God. Because we got a generation today that thinks if you don't have technology and you don't have this in your hand, you're not looking at this constantly, then you can't connect with God. I'm here to tell you that God was moving before cell phones ever came into the picture. God was moving before a computer was ever made. I'm here today to tell you it's time to seek the face of God. Hey, I'm not speaking against technology. How many of you got a phone in this house? Probably everybody in this place. We need to utilize the tools that God has given us to reach this generation for Him. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is those things cannot replace the God. Oh, glory to God. I feel the Spirit of God moving right now. Those things cannot replace the Word of the living God, and we cannot compromise His Word under no circumstances. I'm going to keep on preaching Jesus. I'm going to keep on preaching the blood of Jesus. I'm going to keep on preaching the cross. I'm going to keep on preaching holiness. I'm going to keep on preaching sanctification. I'm going to keep on preaching. You got to live right if you want to get to heaven. Not everybody's going to heaven just because they attend a church or go to a religious ceremony. You've got to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who came and gave His life for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can replace this holy word. How many of you believe that we need to stay true to God's word and not compromise it? I've been told there are those who actually will say to their staff, let's don't talk about these certain things. Let's don't talk about the blood. It'll gross people out. Wait a minute. You're going to take the cross out? If you're going to take the cross out, then let's just go ahead and shut the doors. Jesus died for us on the cross, so that we could be here in this beautiful sanctuary this morning, on these beautiful, comfortable pews in this beautiful sanctuary, so that we can lift up praises to God and worship Him in spirit and in truth and not take it for granted, but truly be thankful unto God. Hallelujah. I thank Him for the blood. I thank Him for washing me in that blood. I thank Him for sanctifying my soul. Hallelujah. See, God didn't send Jesus because He had to. He sent Jesus because He wanted to. And sometimes when we hear familiar passages of Scripture, or verses of Scripture, we might have a hard time seeing how powerful it is, and we might need to see it in a fresh way. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Jesus did not come because He had to. He came because He wanted to. He didn't die out of obligation. He died out of obedience and out of love. When the Father asked Him to go, He said yes. When the Father asked Him to die, He said yes. And Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall we not with Him also freely give? How shall He not with Him give freely give us all things?" Why do we need a Savior? Remember, the angel said this was good news for all people. All people. Why is it that Muslims, Hindus, Jews, Gentiles, rich and poor, black and white, need a Savior? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because of sin, we're all born in sin. There's some people try to argue that theologically. I've heard it before. Really? We're born in sin. All you have to do is just look at a little child. Don't touch that cookie jar. Well, that just kind of incites it anyway, right? Because sin is already present there. So when mom and dad's not looking, I'm going to see if I can get to the cookie jar, right? It's right there. It's present within us all. We need redemption. We need a Savior. We're born into it. You can't get away from it. But thank God there is one who can save us from it. There is one who can redeem us and set us free from the power of sin. Hallelujah. And lastly, we must accept God's purpose of serenity or peace. What is the result of this little baby coming to the earth? The angel said it this way: "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward man." Would you say that with me? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The New American Standard Bible says it this way: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased." Boy, that puts a different twist on it, doesn't it? Peace among men with whom He is pleased. Don't miss this. God says peace will be prominent in the lives of those who are seeking to please Him. Did you get that? Peace will be prominent in the lives of those who are seeking to please Him. You can't have peace and live in sin. You can't have peace and fight against God. You can't have peace and oppose the standards of His Word. There's a lot of people looking for peace, but because they're living contrary to the Word of God, they can't find it. It's escaping them. God wants us to have peace now, and He wants us to have peace for all eternity. God wants us to have peace that shapes and guides our lives now and forever. Romans 5:1 says, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace, a word with several different meanings in the Old and New Testament. I want to just look at it for a moment or two. The Old Testament meaning of peace was completeness, soundness, and well-being of a total person. This peace was considered God-given, obtained by following the law. Peace sometimes had a physical meaning, suggesting security, contentment, prosperity, and the absence of war. The traditional Jewish greeting shalom was a wish for peace. In the New Testament, peace often referred to the inner tranquility and poise of a Christian whose trust is in God through Christ. This understanding was originally expressed in the Old Testament writings about the coming Messiah in Isaiah 9. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." The peace that Jesus Christ spoken of was a combination of hope, trust, and quiet in the mind and soul brought about by reconciliation with God. Such peace was proclaimed by the host of angels at Christ's birth in the passage I just shared with you. This peace will lead you to knowing that you're right with God and He is right with you, and leads to an external peace, which is peace with others. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Do you have peace? Do you really have peace? I'm telling you, Jesus has come to give it to you. Regardless of what your circumstances are, Jesus has come to bring you peace. Peace. Whether it's a physical problem, I believe that Jesus wants to give you peace. Peace. He wants to give you peace in that relationship problem. Peace. Some of you, you feel anxiety this time of year because you've got to see some people that you really don't want to see. It's true. And I pray that God would give you peace, and He would give you love. He would help you to reach out and reconcile with others and be a person of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. For many, Christmas is tough because you have relatives you don't speak to. You've got family members you have unresolved issues with. I want to tell you, this is a perfect time to reconcile, to tear down walls, and to build bridges of peace. Make the first move. Make the first move. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. Make the first move. Make the first. I'm telling you, Jesus made the first move. He made the first move with us. As a matter of fact, He made a move when we didn't even have a desire to move toward Him. God demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were still sinners. I can't imagine that kind of love. I can't even fathom it. But God loves us. He loved us even when we had no desire to love Him. He made the first move. He made the first move. And I feel like this is a word for somebody here today. Romans 12 and 17 says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Notice that important statement there. As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That means there's going to be times that the feeling of forgiveness or the act of forgiveness is not going to be reciprocated. In other words, they're not going to give it back to you the same way you gave it to them. But that still does not take you off the hook. You still got to do your part and make the first move. Be the bigger person. Make the first move. Reach out and please God. Because as much as depends on you, not on them, not on their response, and not how they act, but upon you, live peaceably with all men. We've all got people that try to rub us the wrong way. Raise your hand if you got some people that just kind of, it's like sandpaper. Come on, be honest in the house. There ought to be a bunch of hands going. Some of you probably just wasn't honest. And what's our response supposed to be to those people? First and foremost, love. Love, patience, kindness. The fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians chapter 5. He said, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. They hurt me bad, Pastor. You don't know what they've done to me. I'm not trying to minimize the hurt and the pain, because it's real. It's unfair. And I want you to know this morning, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your pain. I didn't know that I was going here, but I feel the Holy Spirit is leading me. I'm sorry for what He did to you as a child. I'm sorry. But forgiveness is not just about that other person. Forgiveness, and first and foremost, is about you. And getting the freedom that you need to move past it and to move on and receive healing. Hallelujah. And to be whole in Jesus' name. And do not let the enemy just continue to wreak havoc on your mind and your spirit over and over again. And to relive those experiences over and over again. If you have to, go get help. See a counselor. See a Christian counselor. But do what you've got to do to move on in Jesus' name, because there's healing for you. No, you don't deserve it. You didn't deserve it, but I'm telling you, you do deserve the grace of God. You deserve the mercy and peace of God, because that's why he died. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord Jesus. I want to close with this story. Someone once wrote, "Dear Abby," this true story. There was a young man from a wealthy family who was about to graduate from high school. It was a custom in their affluent community for parents to give their graduating children a new car. The boy's dad spent weeks visiting one dealership after another, and the week before graduation, they found the perfect car together. The boy was certain it would be in the driveway on graduation night. And on the eve of his graduation, however, his father handed him a small package wrapped in colorful paper. The father told the boy that the package contained the most valuable gift the father could think to give him for his graduation. Thinking it was a box holding the keys to the car, he opened it, but instead it was a Bible. The boy was so angry he threw the Bible down and stormed out of the house. He and his father never saw each other again. Several years later, the news of his father's death finally brought the son home again. Following the funeral, he was sitting alone one evening going through all of his dad's possessions and reflecting on lots of different things with his relationship with his dad. He came across that Bible that his dad had given him, that he had thrown down on the ground years before. And overwhelmed by grief, he brushed away the dust and cracked it open for the first time. And when he did, a cashier's check dated the date of his high school graduation fell into his lap in the exact amount of the car that they had chosen together. The gift had been there all along, and if he had just opened the Bible, he would have found it. The gift was there all along if he would just open it. He would have found it. I'm here to tell you this morning that the Bible, in this Bible, you will find God's promises for you. But if you don't open it, and you don't read it, and you don't seek to apply it, it will do nothing for you. How many of you know you can't just live on what you hear on Sundays? You've got to get into this word for yourself. Young people, you got to get into this word for yourself. You got to get into it. Moms and dads, you got to get into it for yourself. Hallelujah. And have a relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the most common questions that we hear this time of year is this: what do you want? Finish it for me. What do you want for Christmas? That question is probably asked more than any other question this time of year when we get together with people or we're talking to people. That's a question that is often asked. What do you want for Christmas? It's a legitimate question. There's nothing wrong with that question. But I want to close with this question. What if we asked Jesus, what do you want for Christmas? Ever thought about that? Lord, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know about you, but I believe that the Lord would say to me, I just want to be with you. I just want you to surrender yourself to me. I just want to be in relationship with you. I want us to have fellowship together. Why don't you just come and spend some time with me? I want to spend some time with you. I want us to fellowship together. That's what I hear the Lord saying to me. Now, I don't know what he's saying to you, but why don't you just sincerely ask him that question this morning? Lord, what do you want for Christmas? Would you stand, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, what do you want from me this Christmas? Maybe it is to forgive someone. Maybe it is to let go of some hurt and some pain that you've been wrestling with. Maybe it is to let go of some things you've been trying to fix on your own. And God is saying, why don't you let me fix it? Why don't you surrender it to me? I don't know. It could be numerous different things. But whatever it is, I know this. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. God wants to give peace this Christmas. I just keep feeling that in my spirit. God wants to give us peace. Peace. Would you just bow your heads with me, right? Father, I just pray over this congregation this morning. I pray that you move in every heart and life, that you would give peace. Holy Spirit, help us to surrender ourselves to you this Christmas, fully and completely, without reservation. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to every person in this place. Meet every need, I pray. Help them to not try to fix it on their own, but to surrender it to you and let you move in their lives. I know you're ready to meet them, God, in that special place. In that special place. I just sense that the Holy Spirit is drawing some people to a place of surrender in these altars this morning. Would you just come? If that is you, just come and just find a place of prayer. I'm coming to bring myself to you, Lord. I'm coming to bring myself this Christmas. I'm bringing myself to you in your presence. In your presence, oh God. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? And allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in your life. As they sing it, you're welcome to come. Whatever your need is, the Lord is here. He is here. Hallelujah. Emmanuel.